2 years ago. Amanda, wake up. Chase's voice is urgent in my ear. I don't want to move. I know from experience that this hazy moment before full consciousness, before the pain kicks in, is the best it's going to get. As it is, I can already feel the rawness between my legs returning, the distant throb in my cheekbone growing sharper, and the taste of stale blood is getting stronger in my mouth. He must have loosened another tooth last night. A molar, maybe? Those are pretty much the only undamaged ones I have left. Amanda, get up. Chase sounds commanding, but there's also panic, which he's trying to hide. This is it. Our chance. Listen. The thump of heavy boots on the stairs to the basement makes my heart skitter in my chest, like an animal, frantic to escape from behind my ribs. Just like usual. But something else is different this time. I listen more closely. Two sets of footsteps, and then voices.
It sounds like it might be a circuit board. That means parts. Or maybe it's just a dirty sensor. I won't really know until I get into the furnace.
This new voice is male as well, but it sounds older, out of breath, and vaguely annoyed. Someone else is here. Someone besides Jake's. The realization shoots electricity through my veins. In all the time I've been in this room, years, I think, but I'm not sure how many, no one has been in the house, let alone in the basement. The sole footfalls on the floor overhead have always been Jake's distinct drag shuffle. Until today. I open my eyes, realizing belatedly that my left eye isn't cooperating. It's swollen shut. But that doesn't matter. Someone else is here.
Furnace is this way, Jake says, his voice growing louder as he moves closer to the false wall that hides the entrance to my cell.
His tone holds that sullen note I know too well, and everything in me recoils. He's in a bad mood. My heart sinks. That's only going to make things so much worse later.
Not if you're gone, Chase says stubbornly.
He's been here almost as long as I have, keeping me company, keeping me sane. He still believes that we'll get out one day. I can't afford to think like that. It hurts too much.
You can fix it today, right?
Jake's demands.
Don't know. Won't know until I have a look,
the repair guy says, his irritation clear. I can picture Jake's shifting from foot to foot, his rage contained, but barely, by the constant motion. He is a control freak, and a violent sicko freak on top of it. But the control thing is huge. Letting someone else into his little kingdom has to be just pissing him off beyond all measure. And I would be the one to pay for it.
Another reason to get out of here now,
Chase reminds me, from where he's leaning against the opposite wall, the sole of his black motorcycle boot pressed flat against it. His posture is relaxed, but tension is thrumming through him. If he could shout for me, he would do it. But he can't. So he's stuck.
Excuse me,
the repair guy says to Jake's pointedly. The furnace is right outside my room. I see it every time Jake's comes in, and I can easily imagine Jake's in the way, standing guard in front of the section of the wall that opens to where I am. Actually, I don't have to imagine it. The piece of drywall on hinges doesn't quite reach all the way to the floor, so when I turn my head, I can see their shadows moving in the inch-wide gap as Jake's reluctantly cedes his position. After a moment, the repairman settles with a sigh in front of the furnace. The tools hanging on the false wall jingle slightly when he bumps it. He is that close. The temptation to call out rises up in my chest, but it dies before any sound can emerge. Jake's is down here somewhere, too. If I make noise, try to ask for help, and Jake's hears me, I close my one good eye as terror dries out my throat.
Amanda, you have to let this guy know that you're in here.
Chase insists. I can feel his gaze boring into me. Those dark blue eyes so familiar to me after months of staring at them.
Today is the day we've been waiting for. You may not get another chance.
I can't. Jake's might hear me, I say. Leaving this horrible place, this cell decorated to look like a twisted version of a girl's room, feels like an impossible dream. One I gave up a long time ago. Focusing on survival takes all my effort. It seems so much safer in that moment to stay curled up on the mattress. He'll kill me.
He's going to kill you anyway, Amanda, Chase roars. Do something!
Hot tears roll silently down my bruised face and into my hair as I slide off the mattress onto the floor, taking all the pink and frilly, ridiculous, and hateful bedding with me. I can't scream. It's too much. I just can't. But maybe I can try something else. The air out here is much colder, and the icy concrete beneath the thin, pink polyester nightie that Jake's has given me to wear sends a shiver through me. What if he just ignores me? What if he asks Jake's about me, and he believes whatever Jake's tells him? I demand of Chase. That could happen.